This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson. Thank you for listening to the AWLS podcast series. We're very happy when you decide to come and join us. This is a medical podcast, but it's for anybody who goes into the backcountry and wants to study the medicine that you might encounter in the wilderness. But today we have an interesting discussion with a young man who was diagnosed with what many people would consider to be a debilitating disease, one that if you were diagnosed with it, you'd wonder if you could go into the backcountry. So we invited this young man to talk about it and to help us to understand how he has overcome the issues with it, both psychologically and physically, and to be able to do things in the backcountry. Matt, welcome.
Rich, I'm grateful to be on your podcast today. My name is Matthew Eccles. I'm an undergrad student at the University of Utah, and I met Rich during the summer of 2023 when I was in his physics class. Now, my story with multiple sclerosis, it kind of began in 2020. That was when I experienced my first symptom. Now, I didn't know what it was at the time, but that was when I first experienced the numbness that many people report when they have multiple sclerosis diagnosis. I noticed that half of my body began to kind of be numb and tingle. I reported it to a healthcare professional who diagnosed it as dehydration. That later became severe vertigo that ended up taking me into the hospital. And they mentioned that I most likely had a concussion. I didn't think a lot about it. And if you may know about multiple sclerosis, it comes in phases. So it went away and I figured I was cured. That kind of all came to a head right before I met Rich. It was spring semester 2023. I was studying for finals when I had a seizure. I went to the hospital and I was told I did not have a seizure. I had yet another concussion. I didn't really like that diagnosis, and I went for a second opinion who this doctor sent me to get an EEG, an MRI, where they found that I've got 12 lesions along my spinal cord. Now, when a person has multiple sclerosis, kind of a brief description, it's when your body treats your myelin sheath, the protection around your spinal cord, they treat it as a foreign body, and the body begins to attack that. And as it gets destroyed, it's almost like a bullet hole shooting through a certain part of your central nervous system. And I had 12 bullet holes. So, that kind of worried me. So I went and saw a specialist, and they told me that multiple sclerosis is not common among males. In fact, it's about 1 in 6. Six females to one male gets multiple sclerosis. And when it does appear in males, it is very, very aggressive. So my specialist recommended that as it is aggressive, we should treat it aggressively. Right off the bat, I was just terrified. And this is when I met Rich. I explained to him, beginning of the semester, I'm so sorry if I can't keep up with material, if I'm absent from class, I'm going through this. And Rich mentioned to me that there's enough treatments today and enough knowledge that this doesn't need to be debilitating. And in my mind, I was telling myself, I'm going to end up in a wheelchair. I'm going to have to drop out of school. There's no way I can live a normal life. Well, I explained this to my expert, and my specialist put me on a treatment plan. And here I am 1 year out, almost to the date, actually, of my first seizure. Now, with this new treatment plan that I've been on, I've been really impressed about how much it's allowed me to maintain my active lifestyle. Since I started this treatment, I've been able to continue actively weightlifting, running, and in this last summer and this winter, I guess, I went whitewater rafting. I went skiing, and I try to stay outdoors as much as possible. Now, for many people with multiple sclerosis, they need to learn to adapt. And I'm very much affected in my own ways. I've learned that as I had vertigo in the beginning of my journey with multiple sclerosis, I've learned that when I'm outside and or even in the gym when I'm exercising, if I allow my body temperature on the inside to get too high, I begin to experience the lightheadedness, the dizziness of the vertigo that I experience. I read an article about it recently, and they talked about how the myelin sheath that gets destroyed during multiple sclerosis, it protects it protects the central nervous system, but it also regulates temperature. So one way that I've found I can modulate my temperature and make sure that I don't put myself at risk is something called pre-cooling, where I will take a cold shower or find another way to cool down my internal temperature before I do something that would raise it. That's just one way that a person with MS could potentially manage their symptoms. Another way is just to adapt to what you're doing. I know that if I get into a hot tub, I'm going to be experiencing some of the same dizziness. So I've found that I have to find a limit on how much time I'll expose myself to this heat so that I don't make myself put myself in a worse position. Another thing that people could do as they're outdoors is try and pace themselves. Find a good intensity where they don't overheat, or find a way to protect themselves from the sun exposure, wearing hats, wearing long sleeves, sunglasses, in order to not put themselves in this position where the sun can heat them up too much. I think that MS is such a unique disease because it affects everybody differently. And although that I don't have to worry about MS as I'm driving or in school, it can affect the next person in completely the opposite way, where they don't need to worry about temperature. They don't need to worry so much about the sunlight affecting their vision or any other symptom. But again, it's so unique that the person just needs to know for their own body what's really important for them. Now, the ironic thing is that I am a health and kinesiology major at the University of Utah. I'm 23 years old. I'm in the prime of my life, and that's why they call this disease, this is the prime of life disease. I think that what's really important about people with MS is that they keep themselves physically active. It's really easy to fall into a sedentary lifestyle, and I know that when I first got diagnosed, that was my biggest fear, that I wasn't going to be able to rock climb. I wasn't going to be able to continue being active outdoors. But as long as people understand their limitations, they can always adapt what they're doing. For me, I have relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis. That means that it'll come in a wave. It'll be a relapse, they call it, and then it'll go away and I'll return back to around normal behavior. Other people have types like secondary progressive or primary progressive, which eventually cumulates into the person constantly having these symptoms. Even at that point, the individuals can adapt their exercise. If you do yoga, you could do chair yoga. If you want to run outside, you can definitely find stationary bikes or even a modified bike so that you can maintain this active lifestyle outside. If you're hiking, I think that what's important to realize is the length of the hike, the intensity of it, the steepness, and if you can understand your, like I said, your body's limitations, then you have all of the tools to lead as active of a lifestyle as possible. In my degree, I've been able to learn a lot about how movement is a form of medicine. And those who choose to live a sedentary lifestyle put themselves at risk of a lot of health complications. And I think MS is a perfect example of a disease that betters along with physical activity. The more that you move your body, the more you create that mind-muscle connection. You will find that the neurons that are damaged will find a way to regain capacity. It's not always, like I've mentioned, it's such a case-by-case basis. But if you say, well, I have MS, I can't walk around the house, then you'll be right. But if you say, I have MS and I will find a way that my body will allow me to move around, then you'll also be right. MS is such a trial for everyone who suffers from it. And I feel for each and every one of them. I can't begin to understand what they're going through, but I can tell that through my experiences, MS isn't something that you are, it's something you have. And I don't think you should use it as a reason not to reach your goals, but rather MS is just another part of your journey. Now, I just wish I could go back to myself back in April of 2023, with all of my fears, my insecurities, that I wasn't going to be able to live the lifestyle that I'd become accustomed to, and tell myself that there are treatments, there are things that I can do, and that I don't need to be handicapped by multiple sclerosis, but that I will be able to live as active of a lifestyle as possible. I just wish I had that knowledge then so that I didn't need to worry about it. Because in the moment getting that diagnosis, I was petrified. And I, as a year out now, I'm grateful I can look back and see that I've got people supporting me like Rich, and how he's helped me to see that multiple sclerosis is not the end of me. But that I've got a future, I have plans, and I can accomplish the goals that I have set for myself. One of the goals that I had set for myself about a week after my diagnosis, actually, it was May 6th, 2023, and I had set the goal for myself that in 1 year, I was going to be able to hike Mount Timpanogos. For those of you who don't know where that is, it is...
It's in the... I can tell you this. It's in the western United States. It's in feet. It's about 13,000 feet or about 4,000 meters. It's a 12-mile hike or about a 22-kilometer hike. So it's a pretty tough hike. And you start off and you're already in rarefied air. And when you go up, it's a pretty grueling straight-up hike, as you can tell by the angle that you're going to have to climb to summit this. So this is a pretty hefty goal.
It's a pretty hefty goal, and it's one that I knew I wanted to be able to complete, to let myself know that MS has not gotten the better of me, but that I'm still myself. I am just Matthew with multiple sclerosis. And I fully believe I'll be able to complete this goal. And as I've mentioned earlier, I think that by doing things like pre-cooling myself, pacing myself, being able to hydrate myself, and I did mention this, but eating adequate nutrients as I'm doing it, that'll be able to help me keep my energy levels up, because it really is a grueling hike, but it's worth it in the end. And that's the goal I set for myself last year.
Are you doing any smaller mountains or practicing to see how your strategy is working so that your MS isn't limiting to you so much?
Yeah, actually, just this last week, my wife and I went for just a little hike. We've gone on several hikes around the mountains around us, and it's been a learning experience, seeing what pace works for me, seeing how much water I need, because water's heavy. But I know that if I don't drink enough water, I'll begin to feel lightheaded and get the dizziness. I think that by eating before I go hiking And even the day before, carb loading before I perform any exercise like that. And just by doing these pre-exercises and training myself, I think I've been putting myself more and more in a better position.
Are you taking medicine or infusions right now?
Yes. I actually was able to get on a pretty new medication. It's called Briumvi. It's an infusion that I get once every 6 months. It takes me about an hour to get this infusion. And in my case, my body reacts very well to it. I don't experience any side effects. It does make me immunocompromised, which is something I need to be aware of, that when I'm around a lot of people in college or at concerts, I just need to be aware that my body might not be in tip-top shape as far as its immune system, but by taking away some of my my immunity, it's protecting my myelin sheath. And I have noticed that this treatment, this Briumvi infusion, has been working pretty well. I haven't experienced any significant relapses since this last year, that seizure. We did an MRI just a couple months ago to see if it's been doing what it's supposed to, and if my MRI came back with more lesions, or what they say, actively enhancing, which just means it's an active lesion, then I would know that it doesn't work. But when I got my results back just a few months ago, they told me that my spinal cord doesn't have any new lesions. In fact, some of the ones that were enhancing when I last had my MRI have began to close and heal up. That's been really good news.
So would you do these outdoor activities, and you're going to try and summit Mount Tipinogos, or will you do that right after an infusion? Will you time it to that?
In my case, I don't have any poor reaction to the infusion, so I'd be able to walk out of the infusion center, and then I would be able to just climb the mountains.
Would you time climbing? So it doesn't matter when you get the infusion, is when do you perform it? You just don't notice you're better or worse, right?
Yeah, I don't notice any difference. Although one thing about Mount Tipinogos that I would definitely need to take into consideration is the time I spend out in the sun. As it's a long hike, a lot of it is full sun exposure. And like I've mentioned, being out in the sun and allowing my body temperature to climb does put me into a worse state. But as far as my infusion goes, it doesn't give me any disability or advantage either. Now, this has just been my case. And I've mentioned before that multiple sclerosis is as unique. It's as unique as a fingerprint. You'll never find a person who has the same symptoms and disability as you do. For those of you who have multiple sclerosis, I hope you can see this podcast as motivation to take your own disability into consideration, understand what you need to do in order to keep physically active and reaching your goals. For those of you who don't have multiple sclerosis and you want to support those who do, I think the best thing you can do is be educated on it, understanding how everyone has different types. And specifically understand if it's relapsing remitting, like mine would be, or if it's more of a permanent situation. I think everyone has their own needs, and I think if you're able to communicate with the individual and you ask them what they feel comfortable with or they don't feel comfortable with, I think all they want from you is just someone to work with them. Now, I hope this podcast has been educational in that. I hope that people know that multiple sclerosis is not terminal, but that it's just an addition to who they are. They have multiple sclerosis. They are not multiple sclerosis. But thank you so much, Rich, for having me on today.
What a brave discussion we've had. I hope people will listen to this and help others with MS as they try to achieve their goals, particularly in this Wilderness Medicine podcast, to get them outside, even into any circumstances that will help them to feel better and to accomplish what their goals may be. We're grateful to Matt for taking the time to share his story with us. And so this will end this podcast on multiple sclerosis and how it relates to outdoor activities and to wilderness medicine. And as always, we say thank you for listening.